The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, planet people. This is Kev Energy on the show Heaps More Energy, where solar is made simple. This show has been brought to you by Heaps More Energy New Zealand for solar monitoring services. The show is predicated on the responsibilities and rights inherent in us all to take part in the conversation and not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Kia ora, planet people. This is Kev Energy with a rather croaky voice because I've come back from Australia. And as happens on aeroplanes and that kind of thing, you have to interact with people. So you're safe because I'm this side of the mic and you're on that side of the mic. So today, as planet people, every 3 years, the election process swings into action and we have previous candidates wanting to go forward. And I use the term very loosely, wannabes coming into the program. And I must say, in the time I've been away, there's been some interesting local website came up with all the details about the candidates. But I have the pleasure today of introducing you to Karen Fernihoe. And Karen is a LL, I call that's a local lass from Ruaka. And she's also a beekeeper, but that might be a interview for another day. But I think she's going to be as busy as a bee in the coming 3 years to the degree that she gets in, because she has some very interesting aspects about her personality style and also what she's standing for. So I'm going to predicate my first question to Karen is that of all the candidates that I've read about, Karen is the only one who's actually mentioned the magic word of climate change. Now, as we all know, or as we should know, climate change is apolitical. It has nothing to do with politics. But the amount of politics that are in climate change is bizarre. If you look at COP30 that's happening in Brazil in about a month's time, they are going to be loaded with the fossil fuel industry that are going to try and destroy it. And there's a certain gentleman whose name I'll never mention on radio, who at the United Nations decided that climate change is a complete hoax. Well, moving right along, Karen has actually nominated this word in her manifesto, if I might say. So I'm going to ask Karen to just give us a run-through on the following local elections out of the Guardian. It says, the question was, what is your top priority for the ward in which you are standing for in the election? Karen mentioned, we need future-proof infrastructure that supports our growth, protects our environment, and builds resilience. So the protects our environment really picked my ears up. She also mentioned that we need to build this in a way that supports the diverse needs of all residents while maintaining and managing rising costs. So Karen, welcome to the show. That was a long introduction for a lady who's busy as a bee, and I would welcome you to just give us your impression of where that sits and why environment actually had a up and center in your discussion there.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much for that. I think when I hear you reading that out and when I think about my initial drive to go for council, it really stemmed after the floods that we saw here in June and July. Mm-hmm. And when I'm thinking about how we can protect our environment that also helps build up resilience, the number one thing that comes to mind is native planting. We're really lucky in this area. We have all of these different groups. We've got the Motueka Catchment Collective. We've got Tasman Bay Guardians. We have I want to call them the Brooklyn Baddies because I think they're so cool, but the group who are planting in Brooklyn. And it's through initiatives like this that I see we can support our environment while also building up more resilience, especially along our river. If we are working with farmers to plant up some of the old, well, some of what should be wetlands, really, along the river, it can help slow down some of the torrent. I mean, what we saw in June and July was unprecedented, and I don't think that any amount of preparation would have made a difference for the amount of water that came down. But moving forward, having some planting done up and down the river, as is already being done, but continuing those efforts, I think, is a way to support our natural environment and also build resilience for us.
Okay, good one. So you are a teacher by profession?
I am. I am a primary school teacher at Brooklyn School, and I teach ages 7 to 9, and I absolutely love it.
Is that going to be a hard, will you be continuing in that role once you become, if you become counselor?
So if, the magic if I become counselor, it will break my heart to have to step back from full-time teaching, but I'm very keen to be able to keep at least one foot in the door at Brooklyn, especially so that I can keep some lightness in my life and have that connection with the kids and also the community out there. Yeah. They mean a lot to me.
Yeah, okay. It's always having, it's work-life balance. And in the number of meetings I've been at with the community board, I can see that work-life balance structure being very much skewed in many different ways for different councillors. So watch that space. So have you been to any of the community board meetings?
No, I have not been to any of them, which is probably a bit of a shame on me, but I have been watching them. I've been watching the archives online so that I'm familiar with the way that they are run. I'm familiar with some of the more recent topics that have been brought up, just so that in my first one, I'm not totally taken off guard.
Yeah, good one. I'm a biker, and it's one of the reasons why during my senior years as a Gold Card member, we bike a lot around the area. And one aspect I found really confronting in the beginning was two of the Motiwaka board members and one councillor took it on themselves to either prove or disprove that the biking tracks were not needed, in a sense, in the town. There's $1.5 million of funding that was available from NTZA, and the two particular board members went downtown and said, this is not going to work because there's too much traffic away and whatever. So I want to ask you, if the biking transport aspect comes up, are you going to be on the biker side, or which side are you on?
I am very, very happily on the biker side. for a number of reasons. I mean, first of all, I just think well-being. I mean, there's nothing better than being able to ride your bike and having safe cycle ways so you could ride your bike with your family on the weekend, or as well as being able to commute. If you can commute by bike, immediately we are lowering emissions. Correct. And therefore we are hopefully trying to do our part to stop, well, stop is a bit optimistic, but to slow some of the emissions and slow some of the impact that's going to have on climate change.
Correct. That's fantastic. That's great to hear. And also the fact that there is a tourism dollar attached to each bike. It's quite high. And that, you know, with you, when you look at the Great Tasman Taste Trail, we use that regularly and it's really busy. So we look forward to you putting your hat in the ring and extending the cycleways for us bikies, and particularly the manual bike riders, by the way. The e-bikers, don't worry about them at all. They just go too fast. I'd bring in speed restrictions on them, but it's the old manual boys like me that do well. So congratulations on that. So tell us a bit about your beekeeping side. Is this is this the naturalist coming forward, or is that going to be your balance against all the council meetings you're going to go to?
Well, I do think that beekeeping will help kind of keep me grounded in a way and keep some of, again, as with doing some relief teaching, it will keep some of the joy in life. I think working in council is not an easy job, and anyone who has done it will tell you that it comes with its challenges, it comes with its joys. But for me, beekeeping will be a way to kind of disconnect from all of the arguments, from all of the battles, from all of the struggles that we might face, and be able to just take it back to what matters. And for me, what matters is nature, is the environment, to be able to be out there and watch these girls working so hard. We see them all throughout the garden. We see them bringing back sacks of pollen. We see them ripening the nectar. All of that is, well, really, it's mental health for me.
Yeah, fantastic. That's really good. You got a good balance there. Was there any one particular point that made you say, I'm going to go for counsel or I'm not? What was the catalyst? Is there one? Are you able to share that?
There is one. And this might be embarrassing to admit, and I haven't necessarily admitted this publicly, but I only decided to run for counsel 2 days before the applications closed.
Mm.
And before that, the thought had never even crossed my mind.
Wow.
But the catalyst really was the floods. And they took place during the last school holiday. So I found myself in an opportunity where I had 2 weeks of free time to be able to give back to my community.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was doing that, I met the most amazing people. All of the people working at the high school, I immediately think of Donna and the efforts that she put in. But there were also little groups. There were people baking. There were 92-year-olds baking muffins that could go out to people. There mm-hmm. were people who were coming and delivering water for horses and hay for horses. And it was that strength of mm-hmm. so many different people coming together that made me realize I want to do more community-focused work.
Wow.
As well as help build up the resilience mm-hmm. side of our communities as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been, I just attended a civil defense training course, and I'm keen to continue training with them so that I have more power to help my community when something like this happens again, because mm-hmm. realistically it's going to.
Yeah, because you're in on the ground and you've got the skills to do it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fascinating because it's out of the ashes, rises the phoenix. So we don't need too many of these 100-year floods, but it certainly brought forward you, Karen, in your go. Now we're going to go offshore for a second, because we both come from a country that really gave the Kiwis a hiding the other way the week, but I won't go into that too much. So you're from South Africa?
My parents are South African, mm-hmm. and I was born in Namibia and then raised in the States. And then I've lived here for about 10 years. Oh, so okay. I'm from everywhere.
International, that's the one, yeah. Well, notwithstanding the fact that we're from both countries, I think my voting paper is becoming less blurred.
Oh. I appreciate that.
Now, Karen, as far as your aspirations in council, I detect a busy bee, I detect a queen bee, and I detect somebody who would probably want to go a bit further than just a councillor. Would that be an aspiration you could look at?
I think it's really going to depend on how these next 3 years go. As I said, I hadn't even considered running for council until a couple of days before the deadline. I am very open to taking it farther, whether that be locally or into central, or even just becoming a bit of an advocate. I'm not sure what it will hold, but I don't see myself going backwards.
So would we see you as maybe, would it be the first deputy mayor of Tasman District Council?
I mean, that would definitely be a dream. I would put my name forward, but there are lots of people on council who have more experience than me, so
yeah.
Could be more likely to get it, but it's definitely an area that I'd be interested Good. In learning.
Yeah, because it's, you know, there's more than one term. Life is not just a 3-year cycle.
No.
So that's very good. So if we can encapsulate what what are the top three aspects, bullet points you'd say would be your, in 3 years from now, if we had an interview, what would you have achieved from the top 3 points you want to put forward?
Sure. So number one for me is definitely building up the resilience in the communities, and that is taking the civil defense framework that they have, training local communities, and these are the walkable communities, these are our neighborhoods, training them under that framework, so in the event of any kind of disaster, we are more reliant and dependent and working with those in our walkable community, which takes the pressure off the wider system. So number one for me would be building resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Number two would be, I guess for me, it is well-being. I know there's all this rhetoric now about how councils need to move away from well-being and only focus on pipes and roads. And yes,
money.
The water and everything is important. But for me, it is still the well-being. It's the cycleways. It's the youth centers. It's what are we doing in our community to make people want to live in our community.
Mm.
So finding ways to continue to promote arts, culture, and then of course environmental sustainability. Mm-hmm. Keep working with the Catchment Collective, keep working with these other groups to promote building up an environmental stewardship in our region, which is already here,
yeah,
but just to complete.
And number three?
So number three, and this, I guess it wouldn't necessarily be a policy. I want to bring the humanity back into politics. There's a lot of divisive rhetoric these days about if you don't agree with me, you are my enemy. And I want to end that. I think that we should have respectful debate. We're allowed to disagree, but it needs to be done with kindness and respect.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks so much.
Best of luck. Have a good day. Bye.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show. First broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.